At last week's Republican debate on Fox, a few audience members pulled some moves. While on camera behind the moderator, they dabbed. What is dabbing, you might ask? Here's hip-hop scholar Regina Bradley, who couldn't take the question too seriously.
So dabbing is a dance that originates in Atlanta. It's probably popularized because of the Migos group that's also hailing from the A, right? And basically all you do is you put your nose in your elbow and like you're sneezing and it's like, no, dab.
Despite the simplicity of the move, dabbing is one of the many hip-hop dance crazes from Atlanta that have become popular all around the country. WABE's Gabby Watts spoke with Regina about some of those dance crazes and how they've changed because of social media. Regina started in the snap era, the time of crunk music.
So early 2000s, you know, you had Lil Jon and Eastside Boys with crunk music.
Let's go!
Crunk music was to get you going to be, you know, radio correct. But it was like it was a way to get folks excited, get folks hype, you know, basically get folks crunk. And then in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, you kind of have like this explosion of different artists doing these multiple types of dances coming out of Atlanta. You had D4L, you had K-Rab, you had them Franchise Boys, right? And they had like these multiple types of easy to do dances, and most of them had snapping in it, hence the terminology, you know, snap music, snap era. But it wasn't really until like 2007 with Soulja Boy and Crank That that folks really started like really paying attention, especially because this is like the climax of MySpace as a form of getting your music and ideas out there.
Crank that soul, now why me? You crank that soul, now why me? You crank that soul, now why me? You crank that soul, now what? Soulja Boy, I've been it.
So talking MySpace, but that was still sort of pre-social media, I would say. There weren't these apps like Snapchat and Instagram and Vine, things that are used a lot now. There was Facebook, of course, you know, that was 2004. And then there was YouTube, which I think was 2006 or so. And so, you know, video is becoming a lot more accessible. But before we get into, you know, how social media changed dance, could you talk about what snap era dances and what crunk music meant for Southern hip hop identity, or more specifically, I suppose, Atlanta hip hop identity?
You know, it was really during the early 2000s that Southern folks really didn't have to fight as hard as the folks that were coming out in the early 90s and mid 90s, like Outkast and Goody Mob and them. And part of that is because, you know, it was viewing the South as being able to be a space of having fun. Like, it's you know, it's a way to present this idea that Southerners, especially folks who do hip hop in the South, can also participate in these differing ways. Especially when you think about Black folks in the South, it's not exactly they're just so happy down there. But now when you think about Black folks in the South, it's like, oh, so tragic. You know, like, you know, something that I'm working on in my research. Hey, that was a plug there, right? Put on my research is, you know, this idea that the South continues after the Civil Rights Movement, that we can have a good time, that we don't necessarily have to be quote unquote politically correct in order to put a message out there, in order to suggest that, you know, being happy and having a good time is equally as important of a statement as protesting, as marching, and kind of making room to do that. And I think that that type of representation of Southerness makes folks uncomfortable because it doesn't fit into this kind of standardized narrative about what Black identity and Black culture means in the South.
Okay, so we had been talking about Soulja Boy and Crank That, and we were talking about sort of how MySpace played a role in making those dances popular. But now in the digital era with Snapchat, Instagram, Vine, all these different video sharing sites where you have really short videos, what sort of determines how well a dance will spread, and how is that different from the Snap era?
Well, can you build on it on social media? Now is, can you make a meme out of it? I think that memeing is a big part now of whether we can You know, and I'm thinking about Bobby Shmurda dance. There was a really great meme that was like one of my favorites that was going around social media where it was like, it was this guy who was doing the Shmurda dance, but he did it to like multiple songs. It was like an old school R&B song. It was a crunk song. It was a, there was one that was really funny. It was like a classical song. You could do the Bobby Shmurda dance to it. I thought that was hilarious. But being able to actually meme it, being able to like upload it to sites like Snapchat, Worldstar, and keeping folks' attention, being able to keep folks' attention, what can I do with it to make it have a like a longer shelf life as compared to a standardized music video or a standardized kind of visual representation of the song. I really think that how far I can go on social media plays a huge part now as compared to then about which songs make it and which songs don't. And also, you know what the difference are, like what the differences are. If we have enough time in our busy schedules to actually, would we have enough time in our busy schedules to appreciate a 3 to 5 minute music video that was choreographed with differing parts as compared to an Instagram, which is 8 to 10 seconds at the most, a Vine, right? Like 8 to 10 seconds at the most, where it's like this one quick dance and that's what it catches on. I think that's really interesting too, how fast something becomes viral. And it, whether or not that's like a validation of whether or not the song is good or whether or not we need to actually invest in it or pay it any attention.
So from having you on WABE before, it seems that one critical conversation in hip hop right now, or in Atlanta in hip hop, is what is the authentic Atlanta sound? Is there an Atlanta identity? You know, we're now a transplant city. And there's social media, which kind of breaks down the borders between regions. Anybody can listen to anything from anywhere at any time. So for dances that are coming out of Atlanta now, like dabbing, for example, is that something that's truly Atlanta or is it something else?
Yeah, definitely. I think Snap era was definitely Southern. It was at the tail end of the crunk era, right, of crunk music. And that was definitely Lil Jon and the East Side Boys out of Atlanta. So the region thing is less defined in 2016 as it was back in the early and mid 2000s. I mean, because if you think about it, after you had the Outkast kind of crossover, if you will, that opened up the door. So you have the folks like Ludacris and Lil Jon who are establishing Atlanta as this dominant hip hop spot. And it's not necessarily a Southern dominant hip hop spot, which is ultimately what it became. But now we're looking at the dance crazes that are coming out in the South. And it's not necessarily important to recognize them as the South in ways that it was previously.
Dabbing going in the dictionary. Birds hanging just like Mary Mary. The bridge got wind like a tooth fairy. Pinky ring yellow canary. Touchdown on the pack and I run it like Barry. Me go like Eddie and Eddie. You mad about your homeboy that's fatty. Spray the chopper like confetti. Look at my dab.
I feel like you still see different iterations of Crank That, of Walk It Out, of all sorts of different dances that came out, you know, from 2002 to 2007. But what about dabbing and these other dances that you mentioned? Do you think that they will have a long shelf life, or do you know what that shelf life will be?
Probably the shelf life is as long as you can find it online. It's interesting how, you know, it serves as archive. Like you're archiving these particular cultural moments, historical moments. And it'd be, you know, what's going to happen to these dances in 15, 20 years?
Or like a year or two.
Or even a year or two. I mean, you know, the Snap era was great. Like that was my, if I ever was a dancer, that was my era, my golden era of dance, right? But yeah, it's like, you know, it was reflecting a particular moment. It's reflecting a particular moment of youth for me. I mean, I was, you know, still young in college and was able to still do these dances without risk of, you know, rupturing sciaticas or knees or anything like that. But yeah, it was a reflection of that particular moment. It was a reflection of what was going on. And I think it's the same way now. It's just more amplified because you have more ways to record what's going on, to record. How we're talking about it now might be totally different than if we had the same conversation next year. That might be another major dance that we're discussing, or even 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But I think that, you know, it's kind of like shelf life in social media era is kind of like half life now. there's no such thing as local anymore. Everything's kind of accessible. It's and that's the types of conversations that we're having. And I think that the dances that we're recording on social media are a great representation of how those conversations are going.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. This
is
super
no
interesting.
That was hip-hop scholar Dr. Regina Bradley, assistant professor of African American literature at Armstrong State University. Bradley's currently doing research at Harvard University as a recipient of the Nasir Jones Hip-Hop Fellowship. You're listening to WABE Atlanta.